Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We've heard a lot lately about how colleges and universities are trying to combat what some say is an epidemic of sexual assault on campuses. It's estimated that 1 in 5 female students have been assaulted on campus, while only 1 in 8 report the attacks. And critics say the schools haven't been doing enough.
The federal government is involved now, launching an investigation against more than 70 schools, including several here in Massachusetts, under Title IX, which ensures equal treatment for men and women. But now some students say that the rights of the accused are being trampled in the rush to stamp out sexual abuse.
And here's a case in point. UMass Amherst expelled a student after a campus judicial process found him guilty of sexual assault that he says he didn't commit. He told NPR's Tovia Smith that the judicial hearing was stacked against him. So here's an excerpt from Tovia's report.
For example, he says the university excluded witnesses and evidence that could have helped his case and wouldn't let him have an attorney speak for him as he was grilled, as he put it, by an unprofessional and hostile hearing board.
You know, he was cutting me off. He was cutting my witness off. And he was speaking to us in a belligerent tone. You know, he would just snap at me.
The panel ruled against him, and he was expelled.
They were going through the motions, and, you know, I felt like I was just trapped in a tidal wave.
An excerpt there from a report by NPR's Tovia Smith. Now, that John Doe is one of dozens of students now suing their schools over what they say is a violation of their right to due process. Joining me now to talk more about this is Andrew Miltenberg. He's an attorney in New York who represents numerous clients who are suing their schools after what they claim are unfair judicial proceedings. And Andrew Miltenberg, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Having me.
We just lost you there, but I think you're with us, Andrew Miltenberg. Good to have you. Also with us here in the studio is Gina Scaramella. She's the executive director of the Boston Area Rape Crisis Center. And Gina, it's good to have you back. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, we'd like to hear from you as well. This is a difficult topic, but how should schools clamp down on sexual assault while also protecting the rights of the accused? Are they equipped to do both? What do you think? Give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And Andrew Miltenberg, I'd like to start with you. There's been a lot of pressure on colleges to stop sexual violence on their campuses, but we also know that Columbia, Williams, Vassar, Brown, among other schools, are being sued by students who say they were victims of a rush to judgment. What's going on here? What do you see? How widespread is this?
Well, let's start out with the premise that rape and sexual assault are absolutely, positively terrible, terrible crimes, and ones that the schools should be extra on guard about. Because the reality is you have young people away from home for the first time. There's alcohol involved. You have a new sense of independence for these people, and you have a sense of not necessarily understanding social cues and nonverbal cues, and people end up in situations that they may not have understood where it was leading.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, though, what's been happening on these campuses is that while we're seeing an uptick in the amount of complaints being made, we're also seeing a situation wherein the accused are not being given a real opportunity to be heard, and the investigations that are taking place prior to the hearing are ones that are not fully putting together the facts and circumstances. And the results of the hearing panels have a significant impact, in some cases an indelible impact, on the future of these young men.
Well, we'll be specific. For example, in that piece by NPR's Tovia Smith, we just heard an excerpt from that. We heard the case of a John Doe at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Now, UMass officials won't comment on pending litigation, but they say that due process for parties is central to their procedures, and that all board members who get involved in this process are thoroughly trained. Is that not the case on many college campuses? I mean, again, what do you see out there specifically?
Well, sadly, that's not the case, whether at UMass or many of the other colleges or universities that we've been dealing with. The reality is that the investigators are acting as gatekeepers, not as objective finders of fact. The investigators are determining what information to include, what witnesses to include, and even after that, what statements from those witnesses are included. You have a situation at UMass Amherst, and by the way, going on at other universities all across the Northeast, the ones that we're dealing with, where you're not allowed to have a copy of the charges. The charges are something you can see for a limited period of time. You can take notes. You're not allowed to have a photocopy of them. You are not necessarily allowed to see the investigator's notes. We have a situation at a top-tier school where the charges were changed and increased the day before the hearing. And in almost every one of these situations, we have critical witnesses that either were not interviewed or not allowed to testify. Mm.
Gina Scaramella, I'd love to come to you now. Colleges are under a lot of pressure, obviously, to stop mm-hmm. sexual violence on campus. What do you hear? What's the perspective, the broader perspective here? I mean, do colleges and universities have the capability to both protect the rights of victims, which I think everyone agrees, including Andrew Miltenberg, is essential, but also mm-hmm. to protect the rights of the accused?
I think that they do have both those responsibilities and the due process that we're all hoping that colleges will be able to follow should be something that we're all striving for. And there's no question that with the amount of scrutiny that schools are getting and with their attempts to try to quickly get policies, staffing, implementation into place, it's bumpy. On the other hand, you know, Boston Area Rape Crisis Center has been around for 40 years and we have over 40 campuses in our service area. And we know that the rights of survivors have been completely ignored in the system, and some of the hearing that young man speak about how it felt to be in that situation as a, 18-year-old person is what people have been experiencing for a very long time without the level of backlash mm-hmm. that we're seeing now.
And is that what you think this is, backlash?
I don't know if I mean, in some ways I would say yes, and in other ways I would say there probably is a level of needing to recalibrate and refocus on what the end game is here and wanting to make sure that the processes really are up to snuff. All of us have care about college students in our area. All of us are part of families, and nobody wants bad systems in place
sure.
in any school.
Well, let me ask you about that. What are some of the best practices the colleges have put in place to investigate and prosecute these cases as fairly and as completely as possible?
Well, one of the things that Andrew had referred to as well is the need for really pretty comprehensive training. That was not something that we had seen in years past and is something that people are starting to look at now, because people come to sexual violence with the myths that they were taught and without really very, it's not something that's discussed in most circles. So it's a new conversation, to be honest, for a lot of people. And a lot of folks are looking to pull something off the shelf. There's a lot of new consulting companies that are coming up with things that campuses are supposed to buy this curriculum, buy this thing, do this way, and that will fix everything, when in fact it's quite a huge investment to both do the prevention work they're required to do as well as this investigation and adjudication.
Listeners, we're talking about the very difficult discussion about what colleges and universities need to do to stop this scourge of sexual assault on campus and at the same time protecting the rights of those who are accused. What do you think? Where is, are colleges capable of doing both, in your view? 1-800-423-8255, that's the number to call. Andrew Miltenberg, I'd like to come back to you. You know, what about this question? Gina didn't say this directly, but in doing my research, victim advocates would say that just because a lot of young men are suing their schools doesn't mean the process is actually unfair. Instead, it might suggest that some students are having trouble adjusting to the changing norms when they suddenly find themselves in this new environment that you very accurately described at the beginning of this segment.
Well, I think that's something that, as Gina pointed out, has to be addressed as part of the continuing or the learning process for young people when they're away from home or on a campus situation for the first time. But I don't necessarily think this is a male versus female issue. I think that the fact that everyone on both sides of the equation, meaning victims and victims' rights advocates and advocates for the accused, are unhappy with the process, speaks volumes as to where the process stands right now. Just because there was perhaps a sexual assault, and it may be very real, and in some cases it certainly is, and in other cases, again, it may be missed social cues, but doesn't take away the need for the victim to have the right to come forward and not be in a situation where there's a chilling effect on their ability or their sense of pride or individualism to come forward and speak. And at the same time, we have to protect the rights of the accused, who, whether they're guilty, and I put quotation marks around that, or not, still deserve a full and fair opportunity to be heard. And I don't think they're mutually exclusive ends.
Gina, I'm just wondering, very basic question. Shouldn't universities just hand all of these cases over to law enforcement, or is that not a good idea? But is that, I'm asking that as a way around this kind of debate. You know, that is, are there systems in place to absolutely 100% ensure that victims' rights, that the accused's rights are going to be respected?
I would answer no. That's often a solution people think of, but they actually have two very different functions. The criminal justice system in the community is for guilt in the criminal sense. Mm-hmm. The adjudication process is about responsibility and, you know, what should happen in terms of safety on campus and the student's right to remain a student, and in what way. From a victim standpoint, from a survivor standpoint, what they're looking for in the using campus processes are basically an opportunity to get guided through what they're going to need to do to be safe in their dorm, going to class, going to do what they're doing, and to have things be safer for them as they navigate the process. A criminal justice report and process is an 18-month at least process that doesn't in any way affect any of those things. So, you know, unfortunately, it's complicated, and
sure,
there's a lot more.
I mean, among the complications, I would gather that it's potentially much more traumatic for a victim of sexual assault to have to go to the police to deal with it rather than having it dealt with on campus. So do I have that right?
It can be. And yeah, it certainly, you know, for a 17, 18, 19-year-old person, it can feel more comfortable to stay on your campus and
sure,
not feel like you're doing something irreversible. But honestly, I feel like what we see is that people are, you know, have the same fears all the time, which are about being believed, are about, you know, the fear that they're going to ruin somebody else's life. And, you know, it's interesting in this whole issue of accused rights. There's been, you know, it's important that people are worrying about that. But in fact, survivors' lives have been derailed in terms of their education and careers for many, many years. You know, we want a rebooting of the system, but we want it to be a good system for everyone involved.
Gina Scaramella and Andrew Miltenberg, stand by. I'd love to get some listeners in on this conversation. We've got a few of them who have called in and want to get involved. Deb is calling from Bedford. Deb, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling with a view that is a little bit unique. I myself have worked in university health services doing health promotion, disease prevention, alcohol education. My second child went to the university. She was there for a week. An international student misbehaved, got drunk, may have been groping people. My daughter tried to intervene and address it to the resident assistant. The resident assistant said fed it up the food chain. Later, my daughter had her keys pulled out of her hand by the individual that was misbehaving. My daughter then became ensnarled in a judicial system within the university that forced her to testify against this individual when there was really no grounds for her to be doing so. And when we tried to remove ourselves from the process, she was threatened by the university. I believe that all of the individuals, like the residence assistants and the dean of students, are trying to do their best, but they're ill-prepared, ill-trained, and my daughter felt like a victim of the process at the university.
I agree. So just to sort of summarize what you said, your daughter witnessed a drunk student harassing others, didn't want to report it, but the administration really put her under a lot of pressure.
She wasn't the witness. She saw that this had happened beforehand.
Yeah. Gina, Andrew, do you want to jump in and respond to Deb?
I do for a second.
Go ahead.
It's incredibly important that we protect Good Samaritans as well, because so many times you'll see on campus a couple stumbling back from somewhere to another and perhaps drunk, perhaps not really certain what they're doing. And I think it's really important to protect that third party, so they do have a chance to step in or have campus safety step in and prevent what could otherwise be a very unfortunate incident. But once again, it sounds like the process is not serving anybody well. And I think Gina brought up some very good points that it's not an easy fix just to say throw it into the criminal justice system.
So what is the fix? I'd love to get that from your perspective, Andrew Miltenberg. How would you like to see the system changed?
Well, if we're going to keep it on campus, and I don't see any other way at this point, because again, I don't think the criminal justice system is well equipped in the short run to deal with these things. I think there has to be investigators with law enforcement backgrounds. I think there has to be a protocol from university to university. We're seeing not only is there no protocol or best practices between university to university, but even within universities, we're seeing situations that have been handled with wildly different approaches. And that in and of itself is uncomfortable. I think there has to be panels, or there have to be panels made up of people who, while the current panels are made up of well-intentioned people and people who are bright and successful in their chosen field, they're not people that necessarily have a law enforcement or judicial background. They're not people that can deconstruct and reconstruct complex factual events or test credibility.
Sure.
We have one situation where someone from food services was pulled in to sit on a panel.
Andrew Miltenberg, stand by, because I want to get at least a couple more callers into this conversation. Andrea is calling from Jamaica Plain. Andrea, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You touched on it briefly before, but I don't understand why it's not handled by law enforcement. Sexual predators, you know, most of the kids in college are all over 18. If you're a sexual predator and you rape somebody, that's a serious offense in our world. And I don't understand why a college would be handling such a serious offense. If some student shot another student, it would go to the police. They, you know, like you're saying, that colleges may have good intentions, but we know what road is paved with that. And they don't have the expertise to deal with a criminal problem, which rape is.
All right, Andrew, we got the point. And, I'm looking, Stuart Moskowitz tweeted, take it away from colleges and give it to the legal system. So it's a sentiment out there. Gina.
I just want to say that, you know, from a survivor's perspective, the criminal justice system is no silver bullet. It's a tough road and a road that's also fraught with challenges, and also that they're not a mutually exclusive proposition. People can do both. And I know in the Boston area under Mayor Walsh, there's intended to be more emphasis on building relationships between law enforcement, community law enforcement, and campus-based law enforcement and processes. So there's MOUs being discussed and many ways that that system and that communication and that opportunity for survivors to really get presented with all of the options are happening. But again, it's a process. And
you know, and speaking of a process, Gina, a moment ago, Andrew Miltenberg was talking about sort of standards being all over the place from campus to campus. And yet we have sort of seen, I don't know, a unifying attention to this issue, to say the least, in recent months. Are you confident that we're at least moving this in the right direction to address this challenge?
I do think it's really important to be focusing on this, as it's important to focus on sexual violence all over the place. I mean, we have a spotlight right now on campuses, and so we're seeing it. But it's, you know, it was on the military before that, and wherever you look, there are ways that individuals and systems support it continuing. And so dismantling the ways that that's happening on campuses is incredibly important, and paying attention to the research rather than the myths about it is critically important, too.
All right. Well, that's Gina Scaramella. She's executive director of the Boston Area Rape Crisis Center. Gina, thank you so much for coming in and helping us talk about this important conversation.
Thank you, Anthony.
And Andrew Miltenberg, an attorney in New York who represents several clients who are suing their schools for denial of due process and sexual assault hearings. Andrew Miltenberg, we appreciate you, your participation as well. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Gina.
And listeners, you can continue this conversation at radioboston.org. Stay with us, because coming up, I Am Opera Party, Boston's first I Am Opera Party, celebrates the music from Verdi to the very new. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Megna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.